talk to people. And I took a speech course, you know, and then I took another course the union offered. They were all offered free. You might as well take them.
When was this, during the war?
Uh-huh, yeah. And then they had, you know, we had first aid classes, which we had in a hotel, and I got nearly everybody joined the first aid classes, you know, and then this Mr. Blackman that had them, he'd sometimes leave me with them, you know, to talk to, and I just like people, I think that's why. And I love to get, you know, to talk to them, and I think it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Mind you, it can be overdone. Like, you know, I say the union is a good thing and it's a bad thing. It's like fire. It's heat and it kills, you know. It's the two things. And that's one, you know, where they don't really know. And that's why I like the union, because I felt that, well, it kind of controlled things, kept people a little, you know. First, we had to go around and collect off everybody so much a month. And then afterwards, we had the check-off. You know, we arranged the check-off at the hotel, and it was taken off their pay, and that made it so much easier for us all. Mm-hmm. And that offered so much more for everybody, you know, like, now they're wonderful, the wages and things are getting now compared to what, then of course everything is much more expensive.
Okay. Can you describe some of the work that you did as a shop steward?
As a shop steward, if one of the workers came to you and felt that they were being unjustly dealt with, whether they were getting overloaded work put on them, where maybe their boss kind of favored somebody else. Well, in the hotel, there were so many different bosses, and maybe their boss favored somebody a little better than this other fellow, then they'd come to you and tell you that. Or again, they may have done something wrong and been reprimanded by their boss, which was probably quite right that he should do this. Then they'd come to the shop steward. At that time, I was shop steward for the chef's department. Well, then I would get them to put that in writing. Write it down, and if they couldn't write it, which some of them were, you know, foreign people, they couldn't write it, and I'd write it for them, but have them sign their name to it. Then I'd take that to the local chairman. And the local chairman would, then he'd go to the man that was at fault, you know, the boss of that section was at fault, and that person, and talk to them, discuss it with them. And if he couldn't come to any agreement, then he would take someone with him up to the manager, and they'd go up there and discuss it. Then if it went further than that, if it had to go to Ottawa, then they would send it to Ottawa. And this is what the job of the shop steward is, like a buffer, you know, or a liaison officer between the management and their work. Mm-hmm. And lots of times that one girl in particular, she was a maid at the time. I was the local chairman for a month while the local chairman was on holiday. And in this certain suite, she'd broken a little dish, a little figurine or something. And she just had thrown it away in a corner and said nothing about it. And the lady was very annoyed, you know, that had it there. And when she was told to go back to do that suite, the lady got after her, you see. And she was told the next day she had to go and do the suite. She refused to go. Well, then the housekeeper sent her down to me. And she said, the housekeeper wants to lay me off, because I refused to go and do the sweetness number she gave me, you know. And I said, well, what's it all about? Tell me what it's about. So she told me, you know, explained about this little figurine or something. It was an accident. Well, I said, couldn't you explain to the lady it was an accident? Well, she said, I'm not going to go there. She was so cheeky with me. I said, you cannot do that. You cannot refuse to do your work. I said, your housekeeper's only asking you to do the work that you're getting paid for, and you can't do it. So I said, I'll condone her giving you 2 weeks off. And so she was quite annoyed about it. After the 2 weeks, she came back and she said, I'm sorry for being a little bit snotty, but she said, I realize now that I was at fault. And this is the job that the shop steward has. Right. Then the local chairman, of course, has got all the shop steward's jobs on his head. Plus, when it comes time for the union agreement, He's got to get this all worked out. And then, of course, we always, at every one of our meetings, there was a representative for the big union, the Western representative, was always there taking part and discussing things.
Right. What kind of issues would come up regularly?
Well, lots of issues was now, like, see, the maids had to pay for their meals. The porters, you know, the bellhops, they paid for their meals. The cooks and the waiters did not pay for their meals. So this was a bone of contention. But then we didn't get the same wages as these other people got. They got higher wages than we did because of this. The dishwashers had to pay for their meals, but then they got higher wages than we did. You know, all this had all to be taken into account, because when they made the union agreement, they brought that up into the account. But still, when a new person started, they got all mixed up about it, you know, and they'd really be annoyed, and then sometimes they'd, you know, wouldn't know what to, yeah, they'd think there was something wrong, that we were getting the meals and they weren't, that there was something going on behind their backs, as it was.
Right. Okay. Did your union activity affect your work in any way in terms of management's attitude towards you?
No, not at all. And if, now we were, supposing someone had been dismissed, and there was no reason to have that person dismissed. It was just through a little jealousy on somebody's part or something, and we had to take time off, maybe even to go to Ottawa even to see about it, you know. The management would allow us that time off and never take anything off our wages. We would allow it. And we never had any, and if we had to go and see about a union matter, all we had to do was go and ask for time off. And if it was something that was more personal than union, they'd give us time off and we could work our lunch. Mm-hmm. You know, like we'd half an hour for lunch. We could work our lunch half hour and go half an hour early or something. They were always very agreeable on that, what we should do.
Did you ever have a paid union position?
Yes, the president is a paid position. And the recording secretaries, they're all paid positions in the union now.
So are those full-time positions rather than?
No. Just part-time, you know, when, just any time. They do a lot of night work, you know, at home, like, say, the financial secretary and things like that. Of course, now, of course, with the takeoff on the union takeoff or your paycheck, before it was all the receipts had been made out, you know, and all that. Now they don't have to do all that.
What did you do as president?
As president, well, we just had our local, the meeting was once a month. And then you just open up the meeting as usual. We followed the parliamentary rules, you know, maybe rule to order, you know, and then just discuss things that were had to be discussed.
Would you negotiate?
Yes, but not as one person. I had to be on a team. Mm-hmm. We never negotiated as one person. We always had a team, and I was on most of the negotiating committees, called them, yeah.
What kind of skills would you need to negotiate?
Well, you'd have to have a little knowledge of money, you know, and what it could buy, you know, and then you'd also have to have a good knowledge of English, and because there were some big words that they'd use that to try and get you, so, because they were on one side of the table, you were on the other, and they're trying to kind of fool you, but...
Was it ever... a fairly tense situation in negotiation?
Not really. They would just say, well, I'm sorry, we can't come to an agreement. We'll break off and we'll meet again tomorrow. Sometimes we'd work till midnight, tried to work out something. It may not be a very big thing, you know. Maybe it's holiday pay, sick pay, or something like this, you know.
What kind of... publications did the union put out? Was there like a newsletter for the local? Or?
Yeah, there was a newsletter, and I think they still have a newsletter that they put out, and it gives you all the different hotels, you know, it's a hotel paper, and it gives you different hotels, whether they're negotiating or whether they're not, and then there's letters from each hotel. Every month, after the union meeting, this recording secretary had to send in a letter about the meeting, you know, and that would be on the bulletin, you know, that they'd send out. They send a bulletin out every month to us, you know. And I think they still do that. Of course, I don't get one now.
And was your husband supportive of you being involved in the trade union?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah.
Was he active?
No. No, he was a very quiet man, my husband. He didn't want to. Well, he was too taken up with his boats and his, you know, he's not the type of man that was. He's very, he was more of working with his hands, making things, building and, you know, making different woodwork and making cabinets and stuff like that. He was always working with his hands and like that. He never bothered. He was not a man for, couldn't get up and say, make a speech if you paid him.
When the veterans returned at the end of the Second World War, did the women who worked at the hotel, did some of them lose their jobs or get laid off to make room for?
Well, with such a big turnover in the hotel, it's hard to say. You know what I mean? There was nobody there like the old-timers, like from the old hotel that came over to the new hotel now. They were more like a steady factor like myself, you know. But then the younger ones that came in, they didn't want to stay on a job. You know, like, not like when I got a job, that was it. You were there for your life, but they didn't want to do that. They want to keep changing. So there were always lots of room for everybody.
Did that affect the union? Was that a...
No, it didn't bother the union or the hotel much because there was always a big turnover to help.
Was it a closed shop so that people would...
No, it wasn't a closed shop.
Right.
It was just a checkoff system. We couldn't have a closed shop in the hotel because we did not allow some of the people to be in the union that was on the higher up scale, you know. And then we could not have a closed shop.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You mentioned when the tape wasn't on that you had done men's work at some point?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That was my work. The job I had as a short order cook and carving meat, that was a man's job.
Did you receive equal pay for that?
Yeah, oh yes.
Was that like a principle of the union?
Yes, oh yes. And if we worked, if you come and took my job for an hour and I was getting 10 cents an hour more than you, for that hour, I would have to get, you would have to get my 10 cents. And if you worked the day on the job, then you'd get 80 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you took over a higher paid job, you got the higher pay, even if it was only for an hour.
Right.
That's the union, that was how it was.
Were there many women who did jobs?
The men's work?
Yeah.
No, not too many in the hotel. Because, you see, the men that did all the cleaning up and that, they were called housemen, you know, and it was all men that did that. And they were more on an older type of man, you know, a man in his, say, his 50s or that,
right.
Not a young man, you know, as the housemen, and they were all men. Like, were cleaning windows.
Mm-hmm.
They had a special man doing the outside. Then they have a man, you know, doing inside. And they washed the walls. They had painters to do that.
And men would be porters?
The women just had like maids and the waitresses.
Right.
They weren't really doing the men's work.
So the men would then be porters and housemen?
Yeah.
And waiters and then, in the bar?
Oh yes. Oh, the bartenders. Yeah. And of course, there was the maitre d' hotel and all men. And then the you know, they had the chefs and the sous chefs. There's a lot. There was over 50 cooks in the hotel.
Right.
Yeah.
Were the men paid higher wages generally than women? Were they in higher
wages? Yes. Well, they were. If like myself, I was doing like first cook's work, I got the man's wage.
Right.
And then after, I found it was a bit hard for me. I was staff cook for a while, but it was too much for me to lift the big copper pots, you know. It was too much for me to lift those, so I asked to be demoted down so I wouldn't have to do that, and they put a man on the job. And then, of course, I got the next level of pay, which was only right. Yeah.
Did the union or people in it at any point in time try and get the women's job categories up to as high wages as the men's? Or
Oh, yeah, we were always fighting for that. Oh, yeah, but we had the same. We had it in a hotel. Equal pay. Equal work, equal pay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we never had any trouble about that in a hotel. We always got it. And seniority always ruled. Mm-hmm. You know, if you your holidays always came by seniority. Even before we had a union in the hotel, seniority ruled. If you wished your holidays in a certain month and you were there the longer, you got them. But then, of course, now the union, they specify it. You know, it has to be done, but it was done long before they came in. So we had no trouble with that.
Yeah. No. And did you have one seniority list for men and women?
Yes. Every year that was posted, signed by the manager, signed by the local chairman of the union, or the president, whichever.
And did many people attend the local meetings?
Oh, yes. We used to have... we had about 400 to 500 members in the union in the hotel Vancouver alone. Mm-hmm. So it was over 600 people worked there at one time. Yeah, and so we did about 400 members. I'd say about 400 members, because they kept moving, you know, all the time. And then they'd, you know, they'd come. Oh well, good half would come to the union meetings. Of course, you know, they're like any other organization. There's always the ones that go and the ones that don't go. You find that in every organization, whether there's the good attenders and the bad attenders, you know.
Well, people come at particular times, like around contract negotiations, would more people come out, or was there just a general high?
Yes, yes, they came out when there was the negotiations about to start. Like we'd tell them at the union meeting now, we're going into negotiations next week. And then they, whoever were the head ones, like the president, the local chairman, the stewards, and all of the, you know, the officers of the union would get together, and they'd have special meetings. And then that the head, the meeting, you know, they'd discuss the points that they'd brought up and see how the members felt about it. And there was always a lot more out.
Mm-hmm.
I remember once we had 400 members out because somebody, just for a gag, had said that they were going to get a cut in wages. We had 400 members that night, which, you know, they were all going to be right out there to sign that they weren't going to do. Yes.
And were union officers elected and stewards elected?
Yes, they were all elected at the union, you know, the election night. Once a year they have an election night, and they're elected then.
And how would you put together your contract? Would it be a master agreement?
A master agreement.
So it would be similar to the entire rail industry under your seniority?
No, or? Just a hotel master agreement it would be, you know.
And,
actually, just for our hotel, it would be. It would. We wouldn't have anything to do with other hotels. Even Victoria was under CBRT. Our agreement would be entirely different. So it wouldn't be really a true master agreement, you know.
Was were the hotel locals and the CBRT, were they given effective representation with CBRT, within CBRT as a whole, do you feel?
Yes. And they see, that's what they had these conventions for. They have a convention about once every 3 years. And everyone gets together. And there's, depending on the amount of people in your union, you have a representative for maybe 60 people or 100 people. So you might have 6 representatives, you might have 7.
Mm-hmm.
So they have everybody has a vote that's there representing your union. So the more members you have, the more votes you have. And you're, all that is paid for by the big local, by the big union. It's not paid for locally. It's, the big union takes care of all your expenses while you're there. You're fair there and back, and all your things, yes.
Were there many women active in the union?
Oh, yes. More so down east. More so in the east in Ottawa. They have big women's auxiliaries there and everything, which we didn't have up here.
There was no auxiliary?
No, not in our union. Of course, most of the women in our union were in, you know, most of the women were the men, like the wives of the men. They'd be the ones that was in the auxiliary, and a lot of them worked in the hotel or worked somewhere else, you know. Not so much in the hotel because they didn't believe in having families working together, but, you know, they had a job somewhere else, so they wouldn't be interested in the auxiliary. But down east, they have big union auxiliaries.
The hotel was opposed to families working together?
Oh, why? Yes.
Why was
I don't know. I don't know why. I know one time the printer, you know, they had their own printer. His son wanted to learn the printing trade, and he couldn't because his father was the head printer. So, although there were sisters worked there and that together, but different department. I don't know, but they never deemed to want to have families. They prefer not, you know.
Did you or the union do specific kinds of things to try and get women involved in
union? In the union? Oh, well, of course, we'd, you know, the union meeting, we'd bring them little reports on what was discussed and that, and try and get them to come to the next union meeting so they could be involved in it. And then when it come to election of officers, we'd try to get them all, because they're always a good turnout in the election of officers, as a rule.
Did you ever think that there were maybe specific problems that women had that needed to be dealt with by the union? Maybe things like child care or maternity leave or...
Well, no, because the government pretty well took care of that. We can't do anything. The union cannot do anything about that. I mean, that's all up to the government and the unemployment insurance, you know. Because in BC especially, I think the pregnant working women are really taken care of very nicely. Because they have so many weeks before their babies are born and have so many weeks after. And the hotel was very lenient. And if you were in a job in an office or on the telephone taking orders, you know, from room service, what they call, you know, when they called on from service, and if you were working on that and you were going to have a baby, you could work right up till you felt you were able to work. You weren't asked, but on the heavier jobs like we were on, you know, they would ask you if you would care to have an easier job if you had to work till your pregnancy was, you know. But now, of course, they've got this. They didn't have this then. And now they have so many weeks. I don't know just what it is now, before, and so many weeks after.
Were there any other issues which were sort of particular to women at all?
Really, I don't know if any. You know, it wasn't really a factory or anything. You know what I mean? It was just a hotel, and it was all separate little places, like chambermaid work. Well, that's, you know, women's work anyway. And the laundries, of course. They did, some of the women in the laundry were doing men's work, but they were getting men's pay. And if they complained about it, well, all we had to say, well, you're getting the pay. No, they'd say, oh, that works too hard for me. Well, what can you do? They want the job. They want the pay. Yet they find it too hard. Well, the only thing to do is get down a lower scale. Mm-hmm. That'd be the only... And, of course, was always, you know, the heat and the places, the laundry and the... you know, some of the places were a bit warm to work in.
Did the physical hardness of the work that men did generally mean that they would receive higher wages for that? Was that like one of the criteria?
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Of course, they never had to do the real work that a man would do. You know, like they wouldn't ask them to lift anything heavy or go up and change a light away up 10 stories or something. You know.
Were there any, problems that women tended to talk about in terms of not being able to be fully active in the union or having problems at work because of responsibilities in the home? Was that ever something that came up?
No, because if it did, their boss, their immediate boss, let it be the housekeeper or the chef or whoever, would get together with the union, mm-hmm. you know, and we'd discuss it. And if we could get their hours changed or their days off changed, because a lot of them would like to, you know, when the children at school, well, they could only see them Saturdays or Sundays, then we'd try and arrange that those people would either have a Saturday or a Sunday off. Get the people that had the seniority to change those days, you know, because they had the preference of which days off they wanted. Eh? And we always tried to give them their statutory holidays with their days off. So like if, say, they had Good Friday off, well, then you'd have give them the Thursday and the Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, sort of 3 days together to enjoy, you know, with their children or that. It was always, you know, settled out that mm-hmm. way. And we never had really any much trouble, you know.
Were there any particular kinds of responsibility which women took up in the union, like maybe organizing socials or...
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, we always, the women did all the work of organizing the children's parties, you know, at Christmas time, mm-hmm. which they don't have anymore. Mm-hmm. And then we'd have dances. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we'd have. And if someday, you know, we were, at first, we didn't have a fund for people that had died, and we didn't have this insurance, you know, when we did have through the railroad, you know, at first, when after the union came in, then we had the, you know, like an insurance for a death of that. Mm. So we used to put on dances and put on whist drives and stuff like that. Oh, yeah, the women used, but we never had any bother getting anybody to get, you know, they always were always more than willing to help. Then they'd bake and bring the stuff, and it would only be the hall we'd have to pay for, you know.
Was it mostly women on the executive?
No, it would be most men, yeah.
Were there other women on other than yourself?
Yes, the recording secretary was usually a woman. And if I was on, it was president or vice president. And it would only be like about two women and maybe about four men.
And that would be true of the 1940s?
Yeah, yes.
And did the contract include... clauses around equal pay for equal work? Was that written into the contract?
That was written into the contract, yeah.
And were the men in the union sympathetic to women being on executive boards and active?
Oh, yes, they were. They were more than anxious to have the women come, yeah.
And
then, of course, we also handled this... camp they had for labor children, you know, for union children, up at the north arm of the Fraser there, Orloma Beach, they call it, yeah.
Oh, what was that?
It's a camp for children, you know, like, you know, when children go to camp in the summer,
mm-hmm.
and the unions, not just our union, but all the unions organized that. And they built, the men went up and built the sheds up there, and then they got the people to take their children up, and they paid so much for having them there, less than they would have in ordinary camps. And then we'd go up, and I was the recording secretary for years for that Loma Beach. And then we'd go up and we'd check on the food supplies, you know, and all this. We knew somebody that might have something they could give to the camp, you know. Yeah, we gave blankets, my husband and I, we had a lot of blankets, we gave those. And this went on, oh yeah. So there was other things we, you know, outside of the hotel, but still connected with the hotel, that the hotel always backed us up on.
Did the men support the concept of equal pay for equal work?
Oh yes, they were very much for that, yeah.
And were women who were active in the union, did they tend to be politically active as well, like members of the CCF, for example?
Well, I don't think so. Although we had a lot of men very active, politically active. We did, later on, you know, we did have a political committee, you know, for which I think they still have there, you know. And then we had a library, you know, with all the books and that we could read up on. Of course, now so many people are into politics, you know, but I still believe everybody has a right to vote for who they want. I still don't believe in supporting.
And did the women in the union ever meet as women over a particular...
Oh, yes. We used to have birthday parties, you know, and if it was somebody who'd been there a while, you know, and the hotel would give us a room, and they'd supply everything. And we'd have the, like, a going-away party, you know, if somebody was retiring. Uh-huh. And they'd have parties. The women would all get together, and they'd organize it, you know. Then the hotel would give them a cake and all the stuff that went with it. And they'd ship in and buy a going-away gift and that. Okay. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Were there any other unions that the CBRT was particularly closed to?
No, not really. Yeah. Not really. I don't know of any. Although I used to always go to United Fishermen's because my husband was had to join that when he, after the war, he had a boat, you know, that they used to go fishing with, pick up fish. And so he had to join the union, and so I had to, I went with him to the meetings and things, but I never took any part in anything there, just went as a listener, you know. But we never, ever went to any of the other, not that I know of.
Is there anything else that you feel should be mentioned?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Sarah.
Great.